Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We'll be at verses 13 to 14. Today we come to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. And the conclusion is going to take four Sundays because it's in four parts. But as we talked about 2 weeks ago, Jesus is finished now. He's finished telling us what we need to know in order to live as his followers, in order to live as his disciples. And, you know, I think there's a part of me that wishes I could always say there's more, because then I could excuse myself a little. But think about it. Jesus is finished. He's finished with the sermon, and so in a very real way, you know what you need to know. You do. And the accountability of that is huge. The responsibility that we have at Living Word Bible Church as Christians, knowing what Jesus has taught us, it's pretty big. But now Jesus drives it home. He's not content to leave us feeling like, I think I'm accountable now, right? I think I'm obligated now to do something with this. He drives it home. And he warns us in your handout about what will happen if you and I fail to rightly respond to his teaching. What happens if you come here week after week after week and you hear the Word of God taught and don't respond to it rightly? That's the warning today. Because we can listen all we want in your handout, and I think that's what we've all been doing, but at the end of the day, Jesus calls us to decision. Decision. So let's read the verses 13 to 14, then let's pray. Jesus says to us, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy, that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Dear Heavenly Father, please take these words of our Lord Jesus and teach us and spur us to action. And we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus begins, enter by the narrow gate. And I would say the emphasis here is on which gate, namely the narrow gate, which implies to me that there's more than one gate. So as soon as Jesus says that, it's his opening statement, enter by the narrow gate. Then he's going to go on and talk a little bit more about that. But my natural response is, enter by the narrow gate? What other gates might there be? Right? How many are there? How many choices do I have? We're people who like to have lots of choices. We like lots of options. What's on the other side of the gates? You know, before you walk through a gate, you'd usually like to know what's on the other side of it, where it leads to. And consequently, then I ask now, assuming there's other gates, why the narrow one? How will I find the narrow gate? Where is it? I mean, if we use our imaginations here, this is really a very vivid picture. I mean, maybe you could just picture right now a gate here, okay? You really got to use your imagination because there's no gate there, but picture it, okay? Later on, we'll get another gate here. Which gate? And what's on the other side? And what choice will you make? It's really quite vivid. Lots of questions are raised. Jesus will answer them in a minute, but the main thing right now is for us to know that Jesus commands us to enter through the narrow gate. And by this command, whether you like it or not, whether you wanted to be confronted with it or not, whether I did or not, Jesus is confronting you with decision. He's calling us to respond. Not just to sit there and listen and say, oh, that's good teaching by Jesus, but to do something with it. And it's really quite radical. Verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy. I'll just say briefly that I'm not going to go into talking about whether there's a difference between the gate and the way, as though the gate is initial salvation and the way is sanctification, walking as a Christian. Because actually some people think the way comes first and leads to the gate, which would ruin the whole story, right? So I'm going to say that the gate and the way are exactly the same thing, picturing exactly the same thing. So I'm not going to be too creative with that. To say that the gate is wide, what does that conjure up in your mind? A wide gate. I put there that it is to say that it beckons. What does it mean to beckon? Come, to call. The wide gate calls. It doesn't need a voice. It just speaks it through the look of it. It beckons attractively. So I can imagine this wide gate. Imagine it ornate, stone brick, landscaped, attractive. The wide gate, the wideness of it calls out to us, inviting us in. There's room for all. All are welcome. And we like to feel accepted, don't we? We like it when people say, hey, come and join us. Be a part. We'll accept you. This is what the wide gate does. Easy, the next word. The gate is wide and the way is easy. Easy is literally in the Greek broad. So the gate is wide, the way is broad. We could say that it's roomy, it's spacious. Now, remember, Jesus is the one saying this about this way. Jesus is. The implied meaning, though, is certainly that it's easy. And so I don't think the ESV was wrong when it said easy, the way is easy. It's like this. The way is level. It's not rocky or up and down. It's just a level, smooth path. Ultimately, the point is in your handout that it's comfortable. Comfortable. And I know how each one of us loves our comfort zones. It's very accommodating. And it's at this point, now that I've got this gate firmly etched in my mind, that I realize I must not have heard Jesus correctly, right? Because I seem to remember him saying, enter by what? The narrow gate. Now I find out after the fact that, there's a wide gate. There's a wide gate. And it's the wide gate that is calling to me so attractively, according to Jesus' own words. I mean, this is not Satan telling us that it's wide. This is Jesus telling us wide. It's not Satan telling us that it's easy. This is Jesus telling us it's easy and smooth and spacious and comfortable and accommodating. This is Jesus telling us this. Now, narrow has to me, narrow, once I've seen the wide gate, it's like, well, I don't know if I want to see the narrow gate. Narrow has a sound to it that seems distinctively uncomfortable. And I can honestly imagine, if I were there as Jesus taught, I can imagine turning to my neighbor, elbowing him and saying, now which gate was it that Jesus said to enter by? Why would he withhold this one from us? Why would he not allow me to experience the pleasures and the comforts of this path? Well, Jesus says, the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to, what's your word? Destruction. Destruction. But here's our question. Now you ask it with me, okay? Because we're going to ask it again. How can such a beautiful and comfortable and easy path end in such a terrifying place? How can that be? That's the question you ask. It's the question I ask. We'll see in a minute how we do. Here's how. See, we could say that this path is beautiful and it's comfortable and it's easy, but why is it so comfortable and beautiful? Because it's the path of least what? Resistance. It's the path of least resistance. And the path of least resistance to what? To our sinful, selfish, what? Desires. This path offers up no resistance to your sinful, selfish desires. On this path, we could say there are no boundaries. Now, you have to admit, there's something that's attractive about a path with no boundaries. It's attractive to every human being. On this path, there are no rules. Children growing up in homes without rules, where do they want to get to? I mean, with rules. Sometimes, where do they want to get to? Out of the home where there's no rules, right? This is the way we are. I'll be on the path with no rules. On this path, you are free. Free to do what? To follow the inclinations of your heart. That's why Jesus describes the gate that leads to destruction as wide. That's why he describes it as easy. One person says this, life outside of loyalty to Jesus Christ is a life full of the alluring width of moral permissions. And again, I hesitate to use the example of children growing up in the home with rules and wanting to and being allured by the world without rules, because then we can so focus on them that we forget we are no different, if not worse. We're no different. Life outside of Jesus Christ is a life full. It is full of the alluring width of moral permissions and of the tempting, he uses a great word here, delectations. Right? Delectable. Delectations of a seemingly fuller life. The wide gate is the gate of whatever pleases you. Now, if you just tune in for a minute with your sinful nature, which we don't usually want to do, but if you see that, you're going to see this gate becoming more and more attractive. If you're not careful, you'll sit here and you'll say, let me just poke my head through and see what it looks like. Because that's how we are. It's intuitive to us. I said here, it's the life of doing as we please. Who doesn't want to do as they please? Oh. Rather than living for the glory of God. Who of us, and I'm serious here, who of us is still willing to deny the enticement of the wide gate? But we ask, nevertheless, we steel ourselves, and we say this, how can such a beautiful and comfortable and easy path end in such a terrifying place? And do you see how this question is really just a protest? It's a protest. It's your attempt at denial. Because the truth is that the wide gate and the spacious way that leads to destruction is a stumbling block to you. And it's a stumbling block to me. Because we just don't want to believe. We don't want to believe that the delights and the pleasures and the fun of doing as I please and following the inclinations of my heart and not having the rules and not having the boundaries, we don't want to believe that it leads to hell. We don't want to believe that the path of least resistance really gets us to such a terrible place, which is precisely why there are so very many who ignore Jesus and choose to enter by the wide gate and the easy way. Come on. Seriously. Who's going to walk through that gate if they really do believe that the end of it is destruction? The answer might surprise you. We'll see in a minute. But do you see the struggle we have? Jesus says those who enter by it are, what does it say? What's the word? Those who enter by it are many. The truth is that the majority in your handout, the majority of people in this world enter by the wide gate and go on to destruction. The point, we're not talking about how big the majority is. but just that it's the majority. And here is another stumbling block to you and me and to the rest of the world. Because there's a certain comfort level in fitting in, isn't there? There is a comfort level in fitting in. Not feeling like we're alone, which is exactly why we compromise just in the little places that we do. Which is why we don't look as different as we could look. Because even as Christians, we're still enticed by the attraction of fitting in. It's always easiest to go with the flow. And Jesus says, you know what? If you're going to go on the narrow path, you're not going to be going with the flow, because the majority of people go on the wide path. It's always easiest to do what everyone else is doing. At the very least, avoid doing something that's going to call undue attention to myself. But in this case, Jesus says to the majority of people on the path to destruction, if you join them, you'll be traveling to the same destination. In your handout, if we desire to fit in, if we desire the praise and the respect in your handout, the respect of the world, then you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to join the world on the path that leads to hell. So what will you do? Fit in or stick out? Go with the flow or go against the flow? Jesus calls us to this. So what about the other gate? Okay? I'm a little conflicted inside about this wide gate. It looks so wonderful, but it leads to so terrible a place. I hope the narrow gate is a little bit more straightforward. Like maybe the narrow gate isn't really what it sounds like. And it's another great, enticing gate, and it leads to a wonderful place. Wouldn't that be great? Jesus says, by the way, sometime I'm going to talk about translations and stuff, but I'm going to translate this or go with the Greek word how instead of for. Many of you might have for in your Bible, so we're going to do it this way. How narrow is the gate, and how hard is the way? And you know, that deflates us for a minute, doesn't it? That's not what we were hoping for. To say that the gate is narrow, what is that to say? It's to say that it's difficult and it's uncomfortable to get through. If you're going to pick a gate, which gate are you going to pick through? The one you can just breeze right through, or the one you got to, like this, to get through? It's difficult and uncomfortable. It is not wide. It's not beckoning to us like the gate that leads to destruction. Instead, it's narrow. It's exclusive. It's restrictive. In your handout, it restricts us with laws. There are standards. There are boundaries. There are requirements. What? We've just been reading all about them in the Sermon on the Mount. If you go in the wide gate, you don't have to deal with the Sermon on the Mount. If you go in the narrow gate, the Sermon on the Mount is your creed. This is what you live by. And it really does put a damper on the sinful desires of your flesh. The narrow gate is not one big free-for-all like the wide gate is. The narrow gate actually demands something in your handout. It demands something of everyone who would pass through it. So let me ask you this, to put it in perspective. And I'm serious. This is not rhetorical. Answer it in your mind. Which gate do you want? The demanding, narrow, restrictive, difficult, and uncomfortable gate? Or the wide, inviting, easy, free-for-all gate? Jesus says, the narrow gate, how narrow is the gate? And then he says, how hard is the way? Hard literally means pressed upon. When Jesus is in the crowd, it says that the crowds pressed upon him. The same word here for hard. And so the idea to me is that there are many pressures of various kinds on this path. Here's two, the main ones. There is the pressure of constant temptations to sin and idolatry that we've got to steadfastly resist. Do you realize that if you went on the wide gate, you wouldn't have to struggle with sin? You wouldn't have to fight? How many of us have felt the overwhelming struggle, fight, the pressures of temptation that we wish would go away? Hey, just go on the wide gate. The struggle goes away. It's easy. takes strenuous effort and hard work on the narrow gate, but there's also the pressure, which maybe we haven't experienced as much, but some of us have. I'm talking to Lance and Alyssa at school, being persecuted more and more for her faith. Talking to someone else here, telling me the same thing, being persecuted and mocked for what they believe, for their faith. Hey, if you go on the wide gate, you get rid of all that. There's the pressure in your hand out of persecution and mockery and mistreatment that we must humbly endure. It's a hard road. And notice that if our translation is correct, this isn't just a statement, it's an exclamation. The idea is this: how very narrow is the gate, and how very hard is the way, Jesus says. I mean, is this deceptive advertising? This is no smooth sales pitch for us, is it? Jesus is coming right out with it and saying, two gates, one great looking, one not so great looking. One easy, one hard. One wide, one narrow. One attractive, one fairly unattractive. Which one are you going to choose? By the way, this one over here leads to hell. This one over here leads to life. You say, oh, the choice is obvious. Yes, of course it is. But is it really that simple? If you know your heart, you know it's not. It's counterintuitive. Why would anyone choose to enter through the narrow gate and travel the hard way? Why choose the path of greatest resistance? Doesn't make any sense. Why? Because Jesus says, how narrow is the gate and how hard is the way that, by the way, leads to life. This is the paradox of Scripture. It's the paradox of life in general, that the hard way leads to life, and the easy, attractive, wonderful way that is struggling to entice your children and is struggling to allure you, not just your children, is the way that in the end goes to death. And God says in Deuteronomy, He says, oh, that they would discern their ways. Oh, that they would see what it leads to. So often we don't. We just got caught up with the here and now instead of being able to see the big picture and see, where does this path go to? That's wisdom, by the way. That's wisdom. I mean, in Proverbs, he talks about it. The lips of an adulteress drip with honey, but her ways are the ways to death. It feels good. It looks good. It sounds good. But the end of the way is to death. Let us understand that. Let's teach our children that. And pray to God that we have the grace to choose the right path. We're going to see in a minute. Leads to life. We just say, here's another stumbling block. You say, how could that be a stumbling block? The narrow gate, the hard way that leads to life. How is that a stumbling block? Well, here's the question. Is eternal life really worth the narrow gate and the hard way? Now that is an amazing question. Because what are you all saying? Yes, duh, of course it is. Right? I know people don't say that anymore, but it was just the perfect word there. Is the hard, narrow way really worth eternal life? Do you know that for the majority of people, the answer to that question is what? No. Wait a minute. How can that be? How could anyone be so, I'm going to use some strong words here because I believe they're called for. How could anyone be so dense, so short-sighted, so utterly, used in the proper sense, stupid? How could anyone be so stupid? as to think that eternal life is not worth the hard way. A narrow gate and a hard way in exchange for eternal life, or a wide gate and an easy way in exchange for what? Eternal destruction. The choice is clear, obvious. Why would anyone enter through the wide gate, much less the majority of people? I can't understand. It's crazy. I would think that I could go out and tell anyone going by on 47, hey, you know, there's two gates. One gate leads to hell, the other gate leads to life. One gate is wide and easy, the other gate's difficult and hard. And they would say, well, let me weigh it all out, and they would see immediately and walk through the narrow gate. But for most people, the narrow gate is not worth eternal life. Eternal life is not worth it for most people. On the other hand, for most people, the easy way is worth it, even considering that it leads to eternal destruction. What kind of thinking is that? Irrational. Did I hear irrational? Yes. Utterly irrational thinking. I would have, to tell you the truth, expected to find the wide way deserted. But as I deal with the facts here, it is only this, the total depravity of the human heart, that can possibly explain this irrational thinking. When we see these two options clearly, you got it clearly, right? Hard way to eternal life, wide, easy way to eternal destruction. Come on. When you see them clearly, you come face to face with the depraved desires of an unregenerated heart. Desires, let me say, that are so instinctive and so pervasive to who we are because of our choice to rebel against God, that we will always choose the path of least resistance. Even though we know full well, even if we've never been warned by any Christian, we know full well where it leads to: eternal destruction. What does Paul say about the people who may never have heard the gospel in Romans chapter 1? He says, because they didn't see fit to acknowledge God, God turned them over to a depraved and darkened mind. And in the end, even though they know the decree of God that those who do such things are worthy of death, even though they know the decree and know that they're worthy of death, and it says that they also know God's divine power, because it's plain and evident to them. They know it, though no one ever tells them about it. They know it. They know that He's powerful, and they know that they're deserving of death. They know this is the decree of God, and in spite of knowing all that, what do? They do it anyway, and they give hearty approval to those who do the same. Two gates. And yet the majority of people enter through the wide gate because eternal life is not worth the narrow gate. To the point that, and I think we need to understand this, do you know all those people entering through the wide gate, when they come to the end, which is destruction, and if the narrow gate were set before them again, with the option to walk through it, they would not. How narrow is the gate, how hard is the way that leads to life, and those who find it are few. The truth is that the people who enter by the narrow gate are in the minority. They always have been, they always will be. And yet now we see that the amazing thing is not that there are few, but that there are any at all. How can we explain this? Where can we find the hope? Where can we find the encouragement that we need to daily turn from the wide gate and to daily enter by the narrow gate? I mean daily, not just the day you're saved, but daily enter by the narrow gate and travel the hard way. Because you realize, don't you see this every day of your Christian life, that there's always a temptation to take the easy way. There's always the temptation to avoid the hard way. Where are we going to find the hope, knowing and understanding the desires of the human heart and the desires that still remain within us? Where can we find the hope and grace and strength to enter by the hard way? Jesus says, notice the difference. I put it in your handout. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. How narrow is the gate and how hard is the way that leads to life? And then look what he says. And those who find it are few. I want to just say this. There's no need to find the wide gate. No need to find it. It's everywhere you look. But the narrow gate must be found. And the fact that there are people who find it, though they be few in comparison, is a testimony to the wonderfully powerful, miracle-working grace of our God. I want to read what one person said. He said, there is an echo of joy and fulfillment in the reference to the finding of this path to life. I'm thinking of the parable that Jesus told about the man who found a pearl. And for great joy of finding the pearl, he went and sold all that he had and bought the pearl. Can you imagine the joy of finding the narrow gate? Again, the call to righteousness, enter through the narrow gate, occurs in the context of the reality of grace. Jesus says, walk the hard way, but he doesn't say, walk the hard way in your own strength. The disciples are not to worry that their path involves the rigors of discipleship, as well as the experience of suffering, sacrifice, and persecution. For they, by the grace of God, have found the way to life. They are the privileged. And it's in light of this powerful and this irresistible and this miracle-working grace of God that we need to hear now Jesus' command to enter through the narrow gate. John Stott said, and it's in your handout, there are only two ways. So much for options. There are only two ways, hard and easy. There is no middle way. But many of us deceive ourselves into thinking, you know what? Any middle way is actually the easy way. There are only two ways, hard and easy. There's no middle way. Entered by only two gates, broad and narrow. There is no other gate. Trodden by two crowds, large and small. There is no neutral group. Ending in two destinations, destruction and life. There is no third alternative. We never outgrow needing to hear this choice, this warning of Jesus. And so would you hear it again? Would you listen? A narrow gate and a hard way leading to eternal life, or a wide gate and an easy way leading to eternal destruction? This is not a rhetorical question. Which will it be? Which will it be? We cannot be neutral. Jesus said, either you're with me or you're against me. Every man, woman, and child. We can't be neutral because there's only two gates, two ways, two crowds, two destinations. Two. The point here is not that we're more or less successful at kingdom living. The point is that you're either living the kingdom life or you're not living the kingdom life. So knowing the grace of God, knowing the grace of God, I earnestly and joyfully exhort you to walk through the narrow gate day by day, embracing the hardships because you know where they lead, and to spurn the wide gate, the easy way, because you know where it leads. And because you know where it leads, all the things on that wonderful path become hideous to you, loathsome to you. All the allurements of the world, you see their true character, you know where they go, and you're not attracted anymore. This is wisdom. How do we enter through the narrow gate? Repent of your sins. Turn to Jesus as your Savior and Lord, trusting only in Him to save you. And if you feel like you can't, or if you're scared that the way will be too hard and lonely, or the gate too narrow and too restricted for you, just remember the grace of God. In your handout, the kingdom way is the path of greatest resistance, to sum it up. Let me just say, if you're not struggling, if you're not putting forth effort, if you're not working, if you're not bleeding and sweating and crying, then I'm not sure what path you're on. If you don't feel the battle and the fight and the fatigue and the work, then I'm not sure what path that is. But one thing I do know, Jesus said that the path that leads to life is the path where there's blood, sweat, and tears. Hebrews 12, 3-4 says, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted in your struggle against sin." Now, in your weary or faint-hearted, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. What? Yes. Some people feel the difficulty of the Christian life and they think they must be failing. I want to encourage you. If you're struggling, if you're bleeding, if you're sweating, if you're crying, that's a good sign. It's a sign that you're on a path that leads to life. Jesus said the way will be hard. The life of discipleship, one person said, passes day by day through the narrow gate and treads day by day on the hard way. But you know what? There are others who just don't feel the difficulty of the Christian life. They call themselves Christians, but they haven't felt the struggle. Which means, as far as I understand, they must be on the easy way to destruction. Because that's the only other way there is. So knowing the grace of God, I say to you and to myself, let's count the cost, let's put our hands to the plow, and let's not look back. And as you do this, something amazing will happen. Something I find hard to understand completely. You're going to find that God's grace actually turns the hard way into what? The easy way. Still hard, but now it's easy. Still hard, but now it's easy. Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me." The same Jesus who said, "Enter through the narrow gate, because it's narrow and hard. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke," would you say that beautiful word with me? "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Don't forget, it is still hard. Still hard. But now it's easy. Wrestle with that, but embrace it. The kingdom way is the path of greatest resistance, and the kingdom way is the road less traveled. So that can mean feeling lonely. It can mean going against the flow in your school, your workplace. It can mean being ostracized and isolated. Sometimes it even means that you're ostracized and isolated from your own family. It can feel, honestly, at times, it can feel like this path is not worth it. Jesus talks about the fact that, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father." Because the father chose the wide path. "A daughter against her mother," because one of the two chose the wide path. "A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." A person's enemies will be those of his own household, because they're on two different paths. And the majority choose the wide, the minority choose the narrow. "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That's hard. That's hard. That's the narrow gate. But when the day comes that you reach your destination, when the day comes that you get to the end of your hard path, you're going to find that this minority is actually a vast, uncountable, innumerable multitude who exult together in God's great salvation. It may be few, but Jesus said in Matthew 20, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands." And what are they doing? "Crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" What are they saying? "Thank you. I found the narrow gate. Thank you that by your grace I traveled the hard path. And in the end, it was worth it all. It was worth it all, no matter what." And so I plead with you, Jesus pleads with me and all of us, that we'll have wisdom to see where the easy path leads. Young people, you are being seduced because you live in the world. There are allurements, there are attractions. There's a world without rules out there. And yet the Bible says it does lead to death, because it's the path of least resistance against our sinful, wicked, fleshly desires. See that? But there's another path. It's narrow and it's hard, but it leads to life. By God's grace, may we all find it. Martin Luther said this, and then let's sing. "Christ himself and the whole heavenly host..." Would you listen to this? "Christ himself, the whole heavenly host are at my side, and have traveled this very same way, preceding me to heaven in a beautiful and long procession. Until the last day, all Christendom will be traveling on the same road. It is a yoke and a burden for the flesh," Jesus says. "And it is called a hard way and a narrow gate. But just cling to me, and I will make it nice for you, pleasant and easy, giving you enough strength to travel the road with ease and come to your final..." You know what it is, right? Your final destination. Where's your destination? Where does your path lead? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Jesus has given us a narrow gate and a hard, hard path in the Sermon on the Mount. By your grace, may we enter through the narrow gate and walk on the hard path. By your grace, may we come in the end to life eternal. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Maybe there's some more so than others this morning who are being enticed, who are being attracted, who see the easiness of the other way. Lord, help them to see clearly that it leads to death. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 603, I believe, in our hymnal. Yes. Will you stand with me and sing together? Perfect. I just feel like I want to leave you with Jesus' words, clear and simple, okay? Matthew chapter 7, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who find it or who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. You're dismissed.